I want to bring a message upon the wrath of God. I thank the Lord that Miranda has seen her need of a Savior, that she asked Brother Wayne, and Brother Wayne has asked us as saved people to pray for her. We have been and will continue to be praying for her, as well as many others that are not saved here tonight. And I have grandchildren included in that. You have grandchildren included in that. You may have a spouse included in that. You may have a brother or sister included in that. It never stops, folks. People need to be saved. God gave the commission to His church to go forward, to go forth with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if we fail to do that, we're failing God. We're failing God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, and I'm already off my thought, but the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, how shall they hear without a preacher? Now that's not Brother Wayne necessarily. That's not Brother Paul. That's not Brother Jim. Not Brother Billy, and not necessarily myself, even though we should be the preachers. But as every one of us that is saved, I believe it's talking about being a messenger, being a witness for our Lord. It may be to our children. It may be to our spouse. And you know, folks, the greatest witness that we can be is not necessarily what we say from our mouth, but how we live our lives as the book and being the testimony. It could be with those we work with. We have the opportunity and the privilege, and I call it that because that's what it is, to work with about 350 young people every day. We have the opportunity to work with about 30 or 35 staff people or more. We have the opportunity to work with the parents of those children and the grandparents and the relatives. I'm not pastoring the church right now, but in a sense, I have my church. I have my ministry. And that's with those people that I work with every day. It blesses your heart when people come and ask you to pray for them. When they come and ask you some advice. To pray for my lost dad, that's happened different times. To pray for my lost sister. Folks, the opportunity is there. The opportunity is there. Do we reach out and grab that opportunity, or do we stand and say, "I'll let somebody else do it"? Something to think about, isn't it? Something to think about. People's Baptist Church, Forestdale, Missouri. Thank you for the opportunity to be here these 2 days. I told somebody at lunch, I said, dinner. I'm from Illinois, it's supper to me. I can understand why people say they are tired by the end of the week. I've been here 2 days, and I'm already tired. I'm already tired. This is the last message for the meeting. I hope, and I've not had the privilege of hearing all the messages, but I hope that each message that you folks have heard will stick with you, go into your hearts, that you remember what the messages were about. In my case, I hope you remember about God's grace and God's love and God's long-suffering and tonight, God's wrath. Because the wrath of God has been shown in the Scripture. It tells us what has happened in the past, and it tells us what is going to happen in the future. about God's wrath upon the face of the earth and about God's wrath in a lost person's life. So by God's grace tonight, I hope that I can be a blessing to you. I do want to reminisce a little bit. I got ahead of myself. Billy was talking about 16 years ago when he came to Independence Baptist Church. They were located in this building. I remember the first time I came to Independence Baptist Church. As I look around and I look at the people here tonight, there's not too many here that was there. As far as I know, and I can remember, Brother and Sister Alls was at the brick building or block building, and that was either Forestell or Winsville, somewhere over there. And Brother Wayne and Sister Jesse, and maybe Kevin was there. Maybe Beth. I don't know about Paul for sure, whether he was there or not. Okay, so there was two children there. So there's 2, 4, 6. Brother Billy, that's been 41 years ago. You wasn't there. You wasn't born. Last night we talked about being the pup when I was younger, and as I think tonight, I'm the old man of the four. They call me at school the bearded one, some of the kids do, which I think is kind of cool. Some of them call me Baldy, I don't know why. Some of them even call me Grandpa. And I think that's great. But I see where Independence has come from towards that now. And I know that you have visions of where you're going to be if the Lord tarries and doesn't come back. It's come a long way, hasn't it, from that block building. And we're thankful for that. We're thankful for that. Again, I thank you for the opportunity to be here this evening. Please listen. Not that I'm bringing it, but that God will bless the scriptures that we read. We're not going to keep you all night. Billy told me a story. He said he was going to preach for an hour and a half. He didn't do that. I thought I was going to have a layoff tonight and not have to preach. But we want to turn to Exodus chapter 34. We read this passage of Scripture this morning about God's long-suffering. Exodus chapter 34 and verse number 5. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, and forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty, passing the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and the fourth generations. Let's pray, if you will, please. Father, we ask your blessings, Lord, upon the reading of your word tonight. I pray tonight as we stand behind this pulpit and before this congregation that, Lord, you'll bless. I thank you, Lord, that I have the opportunity to do that. Use me, Lord, tonight as you've never used me before in my ministry. God, I want to be submissive to your will. I want to preach in the way that you want me to preach, and I want to say the things in the way that you'd want me to say them, for thy honor, for thy glory, for the benefit of those that hear. But God, I ask tonight, as these words goes out, that, Lord, you'll save those that are sitting there without Christ as their Savior. God, many times we have taken some of them before the throne, before your throne. And Lord, if they're not saved tonight, we'll continue to do that. And pray that your mercy be upon them and your grace. But God, I pray tonight that if it be your will, that tonight might be the night of their salvation. Help me, Lord. Give me the strength. Your will be done most of all. In your name be praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Tonight we want to, as we mentioned already, to talk about the wrath of God. J.I. Packer takes us to the dictionary for the definition of wrath. Wrath is an old English word defined in my dictionary as deep, intense anger and indignation. Anger is defined as stirring the resentment, displeasure, and strong antagonism by the sense of injury or insult. Indignation as righteous anger aroused by injustice and baseness. Such is wrath. And wrath, the Bible tells us, is an attribute of God. We find in our society today that in most churches and most organizations, would be a better word, I guess, rather than churches. By definition, they're a called out assembly, so they could be classified as churches, even though they're not the Lord's churches. But we find that the term love and compassion, but I have read a little bit concerning Mr. Osteen. Probably all of us here has heard about Mr. Osteen. And I was looking on the internet one day, and I found out that his church attendance or church size was better than 40,000 members. 40,000 members. Well, when you don't preach any condemnation, you can have a big crowd, right? You can have a big congregation. But when you start preaching about God's judgment and God's wrath on sin and the consequence of sin and so forth and so on, and you don't condemn homosexuality or you don't condemn abortion and on we could go, you'll have a pretty good sized congregation. But when you start telling the truth, which the truth is in the Word of God, amen? That's where we find truth tonight. Right. It's not by what I say or what Brother Wayne or any of the rest of these preachers say, but it's by what the book says, by what the Word of God says. We worship God, we come together and worship God in spirit and in truth. That's the only way we're to worship God. And when the wrath of God is proclaimed, we need to realize that there is going to be a time of God's judgment or God's chastisement upon the world and upon the lost and even upon the saved. So we need to realize this. We need to go forth with the ideas and the thoughts that we need to live by the Scripture and not live by what some man has to say. I like to read the biographies of preachers, and I've read Billy Sunday's biography, and I've read some on D.L. Moody's biography, and I've read some on Charles Spurgeon's biography, and a little bit on A.W. Pink, and some of the other men that are basically known and by their writings and by their sermons and so forth. But here's the thing, folks: we may read their sermons, and we may read what they have written in articles and so forth. But the thing about it is, if it's not thus saith the Lord, we ought to do away with it. Amen? We ought to throw it away. And so when we get to reading and it doesn't condemn sin, that's that sin's all right. You know, let's go out and sin a little bit more. You know, let's have a little bit more fun. Things of that nature. That's foolishness. That's the world talking. The Bible says sin is sin is sin. It's condemned by God. God's judgment, God's wrath will be on that sin. We've got to realize that. We've got to think about it. You say, well, I don't believe that, Brother Rick. Well, let's look at some places in the Scripture where it talks about God's judgment and God's wrath, you see. We find even in Genesis, and we're not going to turn and take time to read the four chapters that it talks about from Genesis 6 to Genesis 9 or through Genesis 9. But if you have read them sometime in the past, I know, and you understand what it's talking about the flood and about God destroying the earth and so on and so forth. Why did that happen? Because of God, or because of man's sin. Because of man disobeying God, and God destroyed it. The Bible says, though, by His grace, it says Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah was able to build an ark and load the animals in the ark, and Noah was able to take himself and Miss Noah and little Noahs and their wives and place them upon the ark in the ark also, and as the animals and the people were in the ark, God shut the door. And the rains came. The earth was opened up. and everything that was alive upon the earth outside the ark, animals and people died because of God's wrath, God's judgment. God will judge.
Amen.
His wrath will come. And if you're not saved, you will have to stand on God, in God's wrath. You will stand. You will stand. We find Dolan as we go on in the book of Exodus chapter 35, 33, as we've, I'm sorry, Deuteronomy chapter 28, I'm on wrong thought. That God tells the people of Israel, turn over there if you will, Deuteronomy 28. The Bible tells us here that God told the people of Israel, and it's funny because we laugh, it's not necessarily funny, but God said, you serve me and I'll bless you. You don't serve me, you're going to have to pay the consequence. Doesn't that make sense today? That's what God tells us even today, doesn't it? He said, you serve me, I'll bless you. You don't serve me, and you're going to be chastised if you're one of my kids. You're going to be chastised. Chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, verse number 1, verse number 2. And it shall come to pass that thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. You know what America's problem is today? We have fallen as a nation. We have sinned in the sight of God. And we are paying the consequence. And I think a lot of it, I may be sticking my foot in my mouth, but I've done it before. But I think a lot of the problems with America today is because Christian people are not standing up on the principles of the Bible and living the Bible and preaching the Bible and telling our country that sin is sin. We're compromising. We're compromising. And because of that, our country, pardon the expression, but our country has gone to hell. God's wrath is being thrown out on our country. Can it change? I personally believe it can. But God's people has got to do some really changing in their lives. Really changing in their lives. In verse number 14, the Bible says there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 14, and thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And as I said, if I've offended somebody by using the expression a minute ago, I want to apologize to y'all. But folks, that's where I see our country has gone. We still have freedom to worship as we see fit. And I thank God for that. Don't misunderstand me. I thank God for that. But there's a lot of things in our country that if we as saved people would stand and say, wrong, sin is sin. And I mean stay, and I mean preach it. I think people would see. And I think some things would change. We still wouldn't be a perfect country because we're in it. Amen. I'm in it. I know it wouldn't be perfect. But I know that we could change. You think back in 1990, Desert Storm. When that conflict started, I mean people were supposed to be on their knees of praying and talking to the Lord and asking for God's mercy upon America and upon our soldiers that was there, and on it went. And as soon as that was over, we went back to the same old, didn't we? And you know the one that's going on now, I don't know if people actually ever changed or not. I don't know if people actually ever got on their knees. I'm talking about us. I'm talking about saved people. God's wrath. God's wrath. You remember back in the Bible where it talks about people that offer their children up to Moloch, if I remember that. I think that was the name anyway, Moloch. They offered him up as a burnt offering to him. Man, He cursed them. What are we doing in America? What are we doing in America when we offer our children, our unborn children up to the abortion clinics? And I'll go a step farther than that. What are we doing as parents when we offer our children up to the things of this world, to the things they do, to the movies they watch, to the music they listen to the places they go? You understand what I'm saying? We're offering them up. And that's saved people doing that. Not necessarily lost people, but saved people. All right, man, you can go to the dance where they're boogieing down, you know. Or we can go to the movie where there's nudity. Or we can go to the concert where the people that are doing the noise, not necessarily the music, I call it noise, I don't necessarily call it music, but they're acting like idiots out there. And some of them hardly got anything on. But yet Christians as a whole, or saved people as a whole, says that's okay. There our children have got to learn. Our children can learn. Our children should learn. But our children should not learn the ways of the world. Our children should learn from the book. Thus saith the Lord. Amen. God's wrath. God's wrath. You know, we find that. Let's go over to the book of Numbers, if you will. If you would go ahead and read the rest of Deuteronomy 28, you'll find that God told Israel to go ahead and live a life, and He'll bless. The rest of the chapter tells that as well. I just pointed out a couple verses. But here we find in Numbers chapter 16 some people that were on Moses and Aaron's case because they didn't like what Moses and Aaron was doing. Chapter 16, verse number 1. Now Korah, the son of Izhar, and the son of Kohath, the son of Levi, and Dathan, and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, and On, the son of Peleth, sons of Reuben, took men. And when they rose up before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 princes of the assemblies, famous in the congregation, so they're evidently pretty well known, huh? Men of renown, and they gathered themselves together against Moses and against Aaron, and said unto them, "You take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, and every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore, then, lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord." And Moses heard it and fell on his face. Man, he was distraught. He was tore up. Where are these people, these men, getting these ideas? You know, the Bible talks about us I won't get into that. I won't get into that. If you go down to verse number 12, notice what happened here. Moses asked for these two men, two of the men to come, and Moses sent, verse 12, and Moses sent to call Dathan and Abiram, and the sons of Eliab, which said, "We will not come up. It is a small thing that thou hast brought us up out of the land that floweth with milk and honey to kill us in the wilderness, except thou make thyself altogether a prince over us." They brought him out of the land of Egypt to where they are, and they said, "You brought us up to the land of, brought us out of the land of milk and honey." Somebody's got their wires crossed there, don't they? Somebody's got their wire. They're criticizing. Verse number 14, it says, "Moreover, thou hast not brought us into the land that floweth with milk and honey, or given us inheritance of the fields and the vineyards. Wilt thou put out the eyes of these men? We will not come up. We will not come up. Verse 20 and down through verse 22, these words are written. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment. And they fell upon their faces and said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with the whole congregation? And God spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the congregation, saying, get ye up from about the tabernacle of Korah and Dathan and Abiram. Now, we know what happened. If you go on down in verse 28 down through verse 35, it says they destroyed. They destroyed those men. They destroyed those 250 people that were with them, the princes that we read about early. Why? Because they were going against what God wanted people to do. Going against the ones that God put in place there. God's wrath was there. And I've seen God's churches. I've seen God's people that have stood against the pastor of the church that they're members of. I've seen God get a hold of them. I've seen God almost utterly destroy those folks. I've not necessarily seen anybody killed, but I've seen some people that have gotten deathly sick and had deathly diseases because they have stood against the teachings that was proclaimed by the man of God. And this is what we're doing here. That man stands there and preaches to you what he feels led of the Lord to preach. And the best thing about it is, and in the same way it will be when Brother Philip was up there, we did not know. I may not agree with what Brother Philip said every time, but I knew he was there. God placed him there, and I better take heed to what was said. People don't understand who the pastor is in most churches. That's in Baptist churches I'm talking about. I'm not talking about any. I preach against Baptists more than I preach against anybody else. Because Baptists have a tendency to say, I don't have to follow what my preacher says. I don't have to follow what the Bible says. What it says in the Bible back then, 2,000 years ago, or 3,000, 4,000 years ago, does not mean the same thing today. Then why does the Bible say that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Why does the Bible say in Psalms 119 and referred to this morning that God's Word is settled, or yesterday maybe it was, whenever it was, it's settled in heaven. It doesn't change. God's wrath is still God's wrath. God's judgment is still God's judgment. You see. You know, God blessed us with the way out of God's wrath as far as the pits of hell and as far as the lake of fire. And that came through the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't it? That came through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that, for the sake of time, I'm not going to... Well, I do want to turn to one. In the book of John, Gospel of John, chapter 1. I'm going to read some, or refer to some other scriptures as we go through this, but I want to turn because I want people to see this. In John chapter 1, verse number 29, the Bible says that Jesus Christ was our sin bearer for us. That's the reason tonight I can stand and proclaim the Word of God, and thus saith the Lord. Because I'm saved, I'm called, I'm a member of His church. I can stand and I can preach the Bible to the best of my ability. By any means, I don't know everything. Never will. But I know more than I knew 41 years ago when I first came over here. And hopefully I know more every day. John chapter 1 verse 29, it says, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Tonight, if you're lost, no, let me back up. Tonight, if you're saved, who took away your sin by what that says? The Lord Jesus Christ, didn't He? Let me ask you, lost friend. No one has taken away, let me tell you, I should say, no one has taken away your sin. You still have it. You're still going to have to pay for it. which into the Bible, what we just read there in verse 29, that Jesus Christ will take it away if you'll believe in Him. We read that last night even in Psalm, didn't we? Take it away and cast it as far as the east is from the west. Listen to me, lost sinner. Jesus Christ is the answer to all of your problems. Every problem that you have. Oh, Brother Rick, I've got physical problems. I'm not talking about physical problems. I'm talking about spiritual problems. You have nothing outside of the Lord Jesus Christ to look forward to, and I would not look forward to what you have to look forward to. And that's the wrath of God. Because that's it. That's it. But Jesus is our sin bearer. Jesus, it tells us in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38, that my soul grieved. Let's turn over there real quick and read that verse as well. Matthew 26 and verse 38. The Bible says these words. Then He saith unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. We made reference, I believe it was last night, when Jesus sweat, He didn't sweat like I would sweat. But the Bible says He sweat as of great drops of blood. He had the burden of the sin of me and of everyone that would believe on Him there in the garden. He sweat as great drops of blood. He went to that cross. He paid that sin debt. Then He paid that sin debt. He sweat as great drops of blood. He says in the book of Psalms 21 or 22, verse 1, and also Matthew 27 and verse 46. He asked God a question. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Why did Jesus have to say that? Or why did Jesus say that? Because He was carrying our sin debt. He was carrying our sin burden upon that cross. He's the only one that can do that. He's the only one that can have ever paid for your sin. And never did pay for your sin upon that cross. Tonight, if you're lost, look to Him as your personal Savior. Look to Him as the one who can save you from the wrath, from His wrath, from His judgment, from His condemnation. Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was our propitiation. Go to Romans chapter 3, if you will. Chapter 3. And we're going to finish here in just a second. Just a couple minutes. Romans chapter 3 and verse number 24. The Bible says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Christ, or in Jesus. Did you read that last sentence? Did you read that last one? Notice what it says again. That He might be just and the justifier of him, of Rick Cat, which believeth in Jesus. I'm justified. Isn't it great? Those of us that are saved, would we trade our salvation for anything else? Somebody would offer you $1 million cash. Would you trade it? How about two, Brother Wayne? Would you trade your salvation for two? How about 10? Would you trade it for anything? No. I wouldn't either. Tonight you can have that salvation, and it won't cost you anything except faith. The Bible says there in Romans again, it's a free gift. It's a free gift. All you've got to do is believe. You know, the rich man, and I'm not going to turn there for the sake of time again, but the rich man died. Lazarus died. The Bible says there in Luke chapter 16, Bible says when Lazarus died, he went in Abraham's bosom. Bible says when the rich man died, He was in torment. He was in torment. The rich man said, Abraham, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over with a little bit of water on his tongue or on his finger to come and touch my tongue because I'm in torment or in thirst. Abraham said, can't. There's a big gulf, a great gulf betwixt us. Send Lazarus back to my five brethren. Talk to them so they won't go to this place of torment. Abraham said, they've got the Bible. They've got Moses and the prophets. So Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom. The rich man went to a place of torment. When a lost person dies today that has reached that age of accountability, that's the same place they'll go to as hell. Lost sinner, why do you want to go there? I'd like to know why. You say, Brother Rick, that's an Armenian question. It may be. If it is, it is. But you answer that. Why do you want to go to hell? Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, for my sins, for all that would believe. Tonight, you can be saved. Your sins can be paid for. You can become a member of God's family by faith in Him, by faith in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us that a person comes to Christ in childlike faith, simply believing that He died for them upon the cross of Calvary. You can do that tonight. You can do it. You may have heard 500,000 messages. Don't make any difference. As I mentioned last night, you may have been raised in church from day one, from the day you was born. But tonight, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Why do you wait? Why? Just why? If you understand what I'm talking about, if you understand what Brother Wayne has preached in his ministry here and what these other men have preached or what your family has told you or what your brothers or sisters or whoever it might be, why do you wait? Why don't you accept Christ and be saved? The rich man died, was in torment. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 20, starting in verse number 11 and going down through verse number 15, that there's another place also that a lost sinner is going to be placed. And that is the lake of fire. That lake of fire is worse than hell. And you will be there for eternity. There will not be no purgatory. That's a lie out of the pits of hell. Because you're not there for a while and then go somewhere else. You're there for eternity. You're in hell for eternity. Or well, you're in hell until you are put into the lake of fire. I thank God that I'm a child of the King. I thank God that many of you here tonight are a child of the King. But my friends, listen to me. If you're not saved, you're not God's child. You're not God's child. Tonight, won't you accept Christ? Won't you believe in Him as your personal Savior? Again, you say this is an Armenian invitation. I don't know. But I know the Bible says, whosoever believeth shall be saved. And I'll leave it at that. Accept Christ tonight. Put your faith and trust in Him. Realize yourself as a sinner. And then you won't have, and believe in Christ as your Savior. And then you won't have to worry about God's wrath. You'll be in God's family. You'll be one of God's children. And then you can sing in the song, but I'm a child of the King. Wouldn't that be great? Thank you for the invitation to come and preach. I hope that God will bless in the messages. As Paul said, I am what I am. And Rick Cat's who Rick Cat is. He's a child of the King. I wouldn't have nothing else, folks. May God bless you.